You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Monday morning to you. Welcome to a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. First of all, cool day on All Marine Radio. I talked about a Marine I met. The last time was I was in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune, and I talked about when the process of this whole post-traumatic winning thing starts out as me as a consumer, right? So I'm like everybody else trying to grope my way through how do you live your life with all this shit in it. So after I'd done, most of you heard the story, but after I'd done this for a couple of years, I'd learned so much. I'd heard the same story essentially with different variations of it over and over and over and over. And so that's how post-traumatic winning begins. It's me saying, I've got to share this stuff. And in my mind, when I look back on it now, there's, essentially two people that I had in mind that I could help. One is, and the group is everybody, but it's divided into two groups. One is people that are in this room that a hand grenade's gone off in, which is trauma, right? There's shit in the air, there's shit everywhere, and you can't see because of all the dust and debris and all, that's your life when trauma's in it, right? You're trying to feel your way to a better place, but you don't even know if it exists because, as I often say, there's no high school class for this. Maybe I should design one. There's no college class for this. Maybe I should design one. And the people that have already gone through it, they don't tend to talk about it freely. So you don't know about it. And so that's in my head. So that's the one group that's in the room already. Okay. everybody else is outside because nobody gets to the car wash without getting wet, right? Nobody gets to the car wash life without getting wet, and that wet is trauma. And so, so I had those two people in mind. And my last trip to Camp Lejeune, I met a Marine, a sergeant, and that's the only thing I'll tell you about him. And you're gonna meet him this morning. So it's really cool. And in a very unsolicited way, he told me, standing there, that he thanked me for the class, and you're gonna hear him tell it. It's funnier than me telling it. You know, but how badly he did not want to go to the class when he saw it, and he changed his mind after the class. And then I thanked him, and he said, yeah, but that's not the end of the story. And so he then looked at me and said, my dad committed suicide in March, and because of your class, I knew what to do. And so, talk about moments that literally stop you, freeze you. I mean, that he's the guy that I had in mind, you know, as I learned more and more that, you know, maybe if I could spread the word about this stuff, that maybe I could help somebody like that. And so you're gonna meet him, Sergeant Doe, today. And what I want you to come away with, what I hope you come away with, is this. You need to touch as many lives as you can with this shit. Alright? And I kind of joke about how it happens to me in places that I don't really expect it to happen to me. A car rental place. A car rental kiosk at the Dallas airport. Dallas-Fort Worth airport. Rental car guy. Hey, you were just here. What happened? Yeah, the car in the stall isn't the same one. Oh, hey, well, sorry. And he didn't wait on me. Somebody else did. But he had seen me in line. And normally when a customer goes out to the car lot and then comes back, that's normally not a good thing. So he's just being helpful. What can I... So let me see your paperwork. Blah, 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 blah. Standing there. And so he's just making conversation as he unscrews my stuff. And he says, so what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm going to go speak down at Waco. He said, really? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you mind if I ask what you're going to talk about? I said, yeah, I talk about essentially how to convert trauma into joy. And he looks at me and he says, you know we all deal with it, right? I said, I do. But you're one of the few people that knows that. Because most people don't. And so he said, tell me about it. So I did. And he looked at me. And it's kind of weird, the reactions I have to this stuff sometimes. He looked at me and he says, you're doing the Lord's work. And I was like, oh, shit. I know, but I'm not meaning to. Right? And then, you know, for whatever reason, I thought about my mom. I wish I thought, I'm using profanity, to include the Lord's name. He said, I thought, damn, I wish my mom was here to hear that. So what I hope this interview does that you'll hear in about an hour is, I hope it inspires you to touch more people with this stuff. Because, I mean, I still get happy when I think. And then we did this interview last night when I did the interview with him. Knowing that in some way, shape, or form, you've helped somebody get through, you know, a really, really black part of their life and that you've short-circuited you short-circuited all of that for them. And that something that can be so destructive in life that you helped it not be destructive in life. So, again, I hope this, when you hear it, and you hear it in his voice, in his words, I hope it inspires you to change somebody's life today. Not tomorrow, not 10 weeks from now, but I hope it inspires you to listen and to change somebody's life for the better today. And because, like I said, it happens to me all the time. And it's simply, I think, a matter of paying attention. If you pay attention, you're going to hear them emit. And the conversation starts with, hey, man, do you have a minute? Can I talk to you? And it goes from there. So today's going to be a really cool day on All Marine Radio. You're going to meet Sergeant Doe, and you're going to hear the power of post-traumatic winning, honestly. You're going to hear the power of all the wisdom that I've gleaned from our Marine Corps culture. And I cannot tell you how that makes me smile, because when you think of the Marine Corps, you think of certain things, right? You think of fighting, you think of explosions, you know, things going off and people moving to the sound, towards the sound of something that everybody else is running away from. So when you think of that, Marines, that's what you think of. And I hope this to a certain extent reshapes when you think of it. I hope you think of the giving nature, the constant concern, the semper concern, like always concerned about each other. And it's one of the coolest things about this culture. And it's one of the things that I love about it, the intensity, the way this culture cares. But I don't know why this got into my head a few weeks ago, but it got into my head like how unique. I don't know anybody who's done what I've done, which is to talk mental health for years with Marines. And I'm not a PhD. I don't have a master's. You know, I should probably claim one. But I don't. And all I've done is I've listened to and conversed with Marines that have struggled and other veterans, but mostly Marines. And I've kind of packaged the story of this culture and the truths of this culture. And most of the time, the truths have been discovered through difficult stuff. And so that makes me happy. And I would tell you this, man, there's a lot of people that are searching for answers, and not me anymore. I know the answer. I know the answer to it. And it's not in another drug. It's not in it's not into talking to somebody for 50 years about it, right? It's in giving. And there's things you got to go to and you got to get straight in your life. And you're going to hear Sergeant Doe talk about, you know, what he knew and what he got from this culture. He had heard it in post-traumatic winning. And then he had other good friends tell him. And it has to do with drinking. And it's good stuff. Anyway, so good Monday morning to you. Hope you had a good weekend. I did. I watched Colleen play volleyball on most of the day on Saturday. So that was fun. Catherine showed up, so Catherine and I hung out, watched Colleen play volleyball, and then made dinner for my daughters and my ex-wife. Yeah, because that's the kind of guy that I am. And and so we had dinner Saturday night. Yesterday, got up and did yard work. And the weather finally cooled down here a little bit over the weekend, and then last night for sure. Actually needed a blanket last night. Yeah. Where the hell has that been? So, yeah, it hadn't been around here lately. So Southern California mercifully cooling off, which I'm a fan of. And what else did I do? I did something yesterday morning. Can't remember what. Oh, I had to put a new screen door on. Because of the heat and because of the dogs, I leave the sliding door open, right? So the dogs can get in and out of the house. But sometimes it creates a little bit of a mosquito problem. So I have a screen that's been fractured. So I had to, and you would think putting it on would be, you know, here's the issue of being a handyman or a handy woman. A handy person. you assume certain things that aren't true, right? So you're working on cabinets, right? Or, well, the secret of cabinets is molding. Yeah, who knew, right? Because guess what? You assume that the corner is 90 degrees, but it ain't, because that's not the way people build. And then the house settles. So I go to put, so I know that, but I want it to work quickly, but it doesn't. Because the gutter, right, that the screen, you know, sits in, that thing has evolved over time. And it's not uniform anymore. At one end, it's, you know, one length from the floor, and at the other end, it's another length of the floor. And how do you do that? So anyway, I was getting pissed, actually. If you want to know the truth, I was starting to get irritated. I was getting ready to destroy the second screen, except I paid $80 for it, so I didn't do that. So I did that, which ultimately came out to a good conclusion, but took me longer than I thought it would, and rekindled my learning about the asymmetrical nature of houses. In the news today, the President of the United States talking about evidently bringing leaders of the Taliban to the United States to Camp David, and then he canceled it. Now, I don't know on this show that I've ever quoted from a tweet from the President of the United States. So it's at, what is it, Real Donald Trump? At Real Donald Trump? That's him. Holy smokes, man. He's a Twitter machine. I'm looking for a tweet he put out saying talking about the Taliban and canceling that, because he makes a great point. He made a great point in it, I thought. Stand by. I made a point last week, so are you in such a hurry to make a deal that these guys are killing innocent people and killing Americans, and we're just going to look the other way because of what? And so he talked about if they can't, words to the effect that they can't control everybody. And so he says in the tweet, words to the effect that, then how will you enforce a peace deal that we sign with you? If you can't control the people that you claim to represent, how do you claim, you know, how will you do that? And I think that's a pretty legitimate question. So anyway, that's in the news. Again, the future of Afghanistan at stake. So we will see what the American people lays on the people of Afghanistan. And the sequence of events will be the United States and the Taliban evidently will conclude some type of agreement or not. And then after that, the Taliban will negotiate with Jarrah. Now, I this is just my, I'll get out my crystal ball. And I'll tell you what, I'm pretty good crystal ball guy. As I reflect on my crystal ball prognostications, I'm pretty decent crystal ball guy. Again, my crystal ball with China. China can't agree to that, the stuff that we want them to agree on. Right? They can't. It destroys their economic system. It's akin to them giving people human rights in a totalitarian dictatorship. It doesn't work like that. So Jimmy Carter, you know, went around the world and, you know, he wrung his hands and he opined about human rights in the late 70s. And the Chinese and the Russians are looking at him like, dude, you're out of your mind, man. Go back to your civics class and go to the chapter on totalitarian communism and dictatorships. Okay? And read how you do that. You don't do that. You don't do that by giving people human rights. It's not how it works. Are you stupid? So America's, you know, we're gonna lecture somebody on you need to do this, and fundamentally and destroy your own way of life. So my crystal ball, you know, is pretty accurate, but what's going to happen is the Taliban will get any agreement, will promise anything they can to get the United States to begin rolling out of Afghanistan. And the United States is going to say, you know, the Trump administration, who desperately wants out, right, is going to say anything they can as top cover to get out of there. And then once the inertia starts where people begin to come home, there will be no appetite. And there won't be anybody going back in the short term because there's an election coming up. So I'm looking at something Dan Lamoth, who's been on the program before, from the Washington Post wrote. And then attached to it is a story. The headline is, Afghans welcome Trump's cancellation of Taliban peace talks. Written by Pamela Constable. Wait. Oh. That's the same last name of somebody who I crossed paths with in post-traumatic winning. Not a very common name. Dateline, Kabul. Afghan officials, analysts, and citizens on Sunday cautiously welcomed President Trump's announcement that he was calling off the troubled U.S.-Taliban peace talks aimed at ending the 18-year conflict. After weeks of mounting uncertainty and suspicion here, with insurgent violence raging across the country, even as a bilateral deal neared, Trump's stunning tweets late Saturday seemed to burst the pent-up tension across Afghan society and offer a moment of relief, even as they created new fears over what would come next. The Taliban, for its part, waited all day before issuing a coolly worded statement saying that it had been ready to sign a peace agreement with the United States, but that Trump's impatience had sabotaged the process and the insurgents would now continue their jihad against foreign occupation. And they're doing that by murdering innocent people. I got it. The days before Trump's bombshell were filled with conflicting signals from Taliban and U.S. leaders. While U.S. negotiators said a deal was imminent, Taliban attacks intensified. Outside the negotiations, an array of U.S. politicians, military leaders, and diplomats warned that a hasty deal and a troop pullout could lead to chaos and even civil war. What do you mean, an even civil war? What the hell's going on there right now? On Sunday, Afghans expressed measured relief. Quote, there is definitely a silver lining to this, said Haroon Mir, an analyst based in Kabul. Quote, There was total confusion before. Everyone was afraid the U.S. would sign a ceasefire, but the Taliban would continue their war against the Afghan government and the people. Now, those are the Afghans speaking. Okay? I told you that, and I'm an American that doesn't even live in that country. That's how it will work. Because remember, they can make any agreement with an infidel. It's not binding. Few Afghans had trusted the closed-door negotiations between the United States and the Taliban. Many expressed fears that the Trump administration would make too many concessions to the insurgents, giving them free rein to reimpose extreme Islamic rule and sacrificing gains in rights and freedoms under democratic rule. President Ashraf Ghani, who had fumed for months about being excluded from the talks, prepared to fly to Washington this weekend without public explanation. Aide said Friday the trip has been postponed. In his tweets on Saturday, Trump said he was canceling secret meetings planned with Taliban leaders and Ghani at Camp David after the most recent Taliban attack, a bombing Thursday near the U.S. Embassy in Kabul that killed a U.S. service member, 10 Afghans, and a Romanian soldier. It was not clear whether Taliban leaders had agreed to participate. In a statement late Sunday, they made no mention of the meetings. A spokesman for Ghani declined Sunday to say whether he had planned to go to Washington beyond expressing his concerns about the talk. Ghani's government strongly welcomed Trump's announcement early Sunday. So, again, I think there's a lot of people that are scared shitless of an American agreement with a Taliban movement that is shapeless and formless and will essentially do whatever the hell it wants. And I think rightly they should be. So as badly as the United States wants out of Afghanistan, you know, do the right thing. Do the right thing. There's another quote. A lot of Afghans are happy about Trump's tweets because they may stop a bad deal with the Taliban. But they ignore the fact that there is a fundamental lack of strategy in Afghanistan that could prolong and exacerbate the bloody conflict. Some said the insurgents should never be forgiven for their attacks on civilians, and that they had used the bilateral peace process as an excuse to show military might. Quote, the Taliban were never interested in peace. They just kept killing people indiscriminately to get a stronger bargaining position. See, these are Afghans, man. These aren't Americans. Here's another quote. Quote, American life matters for the U.S., but it's not important for them if Afghans are dying like lambs. Violence has been intense during these talks, and it will intensify if the talks stop. So, the Afghan policy is essentially, right, a term insurance policy. We keep special forces there to keep an eye on ISIS and Al-Qaeda elements there to make sure that they cannot use Afghanistan as a training and staging ground to spread their message. So that's one fight. The second fight is the American support for the federal government of Afghanistan, JIRROA as it's known, and their war with the Taliban. And the United States wants out at least from the support of the war against the Taliban. And that, you know, you've heard both sides say there will be, you know, neither side can defeat the other, right? So, how does it end? Good question, right? Good question. All right. I'm excited for you to hear this interview, by the way, just so you know. The United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. at the White House, there's a ceremony that's going to go on this morning. And it involves police officers from Dayton, Ohio, who, when shooting started, they ran in the direction of gunfire. And years ago, I was very critical of law enforcement people that when shooting started, they hung out outside, set the perimeter, and didn't, in my opinion, do their job. And that has changed all across the country. So this is dedicated to those brave men and women of the Dayton Police Department who, not knowing whether they would live or die, ran towards the sound of gunfire to save innocent people. And I don't know that anybody can ever say thank you. I don't know if anybody could, you know, rightly portray the terror in somebody's mind when you run in that direction, knowing that you may be living the last seconds of your life. But God bless them, and this is dedicated in your honor.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, CFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather. And just on a general note, checking in with people at Camp Lejeune over the weekend, they survived without too much damage. So I'm sure the surveyors will be out and have been out. But looks like fear was that stuff under construction, they'd get a second wave before they recovered from the first. Looks like they dodged that bullet for the most part. Currently, partly cloudy in 79 in Northern Virginia, the Quantico area. Partly cloudy 87 at Camp Lejeune with no weather advisories. Now that's a change. And beautifully, it's sunny in 75 at 29 Palms. Yay! That means it's cloudy in 65 on the coast where Mac is at Camp Pendleton. So I love that. Dark cloudy 81 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. Marine Corps Base Camp Butler on Okinawa reports clear dark in 81, so cooled off in Okinawa a little bit. In the Alambar Province, where Task Force Special Purpose MAGTAP works, clear dark and 96 in Ramadi. At the home of Task Force Southwest in the Helmand Province of Afghanistan, the city of Marja reports clear dark and 90 degrees. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio. The Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. It is mostly cloudy and 69 degrees. Looking for a high of 79. 78 tomorrow and 79 on Wednesday. So, beautiful day. So, don't touch that dial. A very, very cool day here on All Marine Radio. You're going to hear from Sergeant Doe in about, 25 minutes. We'll take a break. We'll take a quick check of the news. We'll come back after that, probably around 9:05, 9:10, somewhere in there, and you're going to hear a really cool interview. And again, and what I hope it does, right, is I hope it inspires you to go change somebody else's life, because there's people like Sergeant Doe out there that have not been touched by trauma. And if you can do a little seed planting when it's appropriate, when something does happen to them, they'll have a blueprint. they'll know. And I think that's really important. I know, right? I know what to do. And I know that I can do this because I've sat with people who've talked to me. And I'm not unique, and nobody singled me out. This is part of life as a human being. So, anyway, don't touch that dial. More Volume Radio. We'll check the news coming up next on a Monday, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good. But I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good. But I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter road.
feel the sting of letting go of all hope and took in the end of this heartbreak. I'm gonna drive
back. Montana Man's checking in. He was doing car talk over the weekend with Rudy. Yeah, they go to this, like, weird place where they do this car thing. I don't really understand it because that's not me, but, yeah, they were going there over the weekend. I've always sat and watched it because they, like, get in small groups and they whisper. Dude, are you guys all right? Anybody want to make an announcement? What's going on over there? Then you get their abuse, right? But because you caught them doing it. Yeah, anyway. Fall's coming to Big Timber, Montana. 57 degrees and windy there right now. Yeah, how about that? Yeah, so if you want your local temperature read, call or email or text at Tall Marine Radio. I'll be happy to bomb your current weather conditions out. Peyton Davis. I go to sleep last night, and it didn't work very well. So I'm thrashing about, and I get an email from somebody in the 3rd Marine, somebody in 3 now, asking me about post-traumatic winning and going to, and coming out there. I'm like, dude, just get it, do it already, come on. So I'm up till I don't know how long. So I'm answering emails, and one of them was, "Dude, what time is it where you're at?" I'm like, "I don't know. 12:30." Like, do you ever sleep? I said, "Well, yeah, but it's bombed into my phone, man. Come on." And I'm not going to answer an email right away about post-traumatic winning. You clearly don't know. In Vacaville, it's 64 degrees. Okay, let me give you the format for weather currents, okay? Right? So, what is the condition of your skies, and what is the current temperature? So, we have a partial from Vacaville, okay? Big Dave fucked it up. But whatever the skies are, it is 64 degrees there. So we know that. So congratulations to everybody in Vacaville. Alright, time to check the news. Yeah, so somebody at 3MF fires me up. Hey, working on getting you to out here, and what about this? What about this? I'm like, look, dude, let's do it. Right? It's no longer a theoretical proposition; it's a fact. It works. I know it. I've got a tool for you. You're not going to have to create a whole nother layer of bureaucracy or anything else, right? What you need, you got mostly of. Let me help you. So anyway. Yeah, so then I'm awake till whatever. So then, normally I get up at 5:30, hop in the shower, I come in here at 6, the show starts at 8. So I do the work on the posts that are going to go up on the website, I do the work on the audio files I have to create, so all the kind of behind-the-scenes stuff, the infrastructure, I have to create that every day. So I get up and I do that. And but because I didn't go to sleep till, I don't know, 3:30 or something like that. Because I didn't go to sleep till I didn't wake up till, I don't know if I slept through my alarm or it didn't go off, but I didn't wake up till like 7. and I then get out of bed. Now, Colleen was with me this week, so I don't hear anything out of that. I'm thinking, okay, that's not good. So, and so today's not an insignificant day in Colleen's life. She's supposed to go take her driver's test. Now, she wanted a friend of hers to take her to school today. I said, yeah, call your mother. Because her mother normally picks her up because I'm on the air and takes her to school. So, so Colleen comes back in. No, there's some things I need to study. And so, mom's going to pick me up. So, I walk down the hallway at like 7:05. Getting ready to get in the shower, but have not heard anything from the other side of the house. Colleen's dead asleep. So I walk in the bedroom. I'm like, hey, jackass, what are you doing? I'm like, hey, it's 7:05. So as she's like, eyes rolling in her head, I'm like, Colleen, what is your deal? I turn around and go to get in the shower, and the horn honks out in front. It's her mother early. Colleen, shit is in the street. But I would say this for Colleen, and I don't know that I'd tell her this to her face. Colleen, she'll man up. When she gets in trouble, she stands there and takes it. And so the horn honks. I turn around, and I look at her, and I said, is that your mother already? And she says, shit. And then now, some kids would run around in a panic. Colleen, she kind of manned up. She walked out the front door, right, in her shorts and t-shirt that she had slept in, walked up, and took the face shot she was going to get from her mother, and she knew that. And she got one, and then came back in. I was in the shower, so came back in and got her stuff, brushed her teeth, and headed off to school. So I want to say that that doesn't bode well for the driver's test. If you add up karma on days like today for Colleen, got out of the chute on weak legs, so tends not to be a good omen. But we shall see. We shall see. Maybe she can turn it around. Colleen probably can. Colleen's a tough girl. Like, you know how your kids, they all have different ways of, when they get in trouble of dealing with it. By the way, it's clear. The exact verbiage, clear, bro. All right. Let that be a lesson to everybody. If you want your currents red, right? So we've heard them from Montana. We've heard them from Vacaville. I'm happy to do it. Just don't fuck it up. Colleen, my oldest, John, could stop crying on command, stop crying. And he would just lock it up. It was amazing. From like 60 to 0 in like 0.4 seconds. Hey, stop crying. Yeah, he could. Colleen's got a similar gift, and it might be like, if John was 0.4 seconds, Colleen might be 0.2. Yeah, Colleen, she's a hard ass. You tell her to stop, and she stops. Always been the crazy things you see your kid do that you're like, whoa, that was actually impressive. Not really going to tell you that because I'm pissed at you, but nonetheless, it is a fact. All right. Biggest news, obviously, is the president and whatever peace talks were attempting to be held at Camp David. And now where does that leave this peace process? Where does this leave the future of Afghanistan? You know, what the hell? And again, my opinion, you don't negotiate from a position of weakness in that part of the world, right? Somehow or other, the Afghan forces, combined with the United States, have got to lay the wood to those son of a bitches, right? I don't know that you can negotiate from any other position. Because, again, if they don't stop this Taliban thing, and again, you read statistics, they're in this amount of the country, is that any different? Like, I know it's different in Helmand, We owned the Helmand province when I was there. We owned that son of a bitch. Now, not so much. So, anyway, I'll give you some headlines, and then you're going to hear a cool interview. Sergeant Doe, email. Mac, is that his actual name? No. Doe is in John Doe? Second question in the email. Why wouldn't you give his name? None of your business. Yeah. Not giving someone's name, identity, right? For a reason. Nobody needs to know that. Headlines and Stars and Stripes. Air Force is reviewing layover guidelines amid scrutiny of stop at Trump property in Scotland. The Air Force has launched a review of its selection of lodging accommodations amid heightened scrutiny of a decision to place a crew at the Trump Turnberry Resort in Scotland, which it acknowledged Sunday might be allowable but not advisable. Now, that's the top story in Stars and Stripes. Now, this is, again, I go back to Alex Hollings. Let's see. I wonder what the title of that is. I thought it was clickbait. Alex Hollings and I had a discussion. Here it is. If you and you can listen to it. It happened in June of this year. Is clickbait necessary for media companies? Alex Hollings makes it smart. Listen to that. Okay? Listen to that interview. And we talk about that. But again, the Stars and Stripes, that's the top story. That's the headline story. Second story, suspected American ISIS sniper indicted on terrorism charge. A former French Army bathhouse in Baumholder, Germany, now serves as a place for U.S. soldiers and their families to unwind and connect while off duty after the USO returned to a hilly outpost northwest of Ramstein Air Base, for the first time in more than a decade. So the USO. Obviously, a slow news weekend, right? Another headline from Afghanistan. Germany pulls police advisors out of Afghanistan after Kabul Green Village attack. If you listen to the Lynch-Kenny discussion last week, you heard us talk about that when people join part of the coalition, one of the, you know, there's all these conditions they place on us, right? Hey, you've got to pay our combat pay. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to do this. And so one of the key things is giving them jobs where they're absolutely protected. And so it's always, you know, it's always amazing. For me, the biggest place I saw that was in Afghanistan going through Kandahar and going home on leave. So you're out on the frontier in Afghanistan, and it was an Osprey flight to our bigger base called Leatherneck, and then another Osprey, and then guy had to get off the Osprey because there was a thunderstorm with lightning, so I had to get out of the plane and sit against one of those big concrete barriers and watch flight ops for a while. And let me tell you, that place was busy, and it was amazing all the different nations whose aircraft were flying there. Russian aircraft, those big transport aircraft they have. Yeah, those things were in there. And so then we flew another Osprey flight over to Kandahar. Going to Kandahar was like going to the bar scene in Star Wars. Right, that craziness. So imagine, right? I mean, you're out and with an infantry regiment, and all you do is you help kill people on a daily basis, and you and you help save people on a daily basis. And that is what you do. Your head's down. You work 7 days a week. I don't know, 14 to 16 hours a day. That's why this whole notion of, we worked 100 hours a week. Like, no shit, man. Life sucks. So, I mean, so you work 7 days a week. And I remember saying, like, you didn't get any days off? Like, no. Like, what are you going to do on a day off? So anyway, so that's your life. So you land in Kandahar. They have this big dirt mall. It's a square, and it had to be like 100 yards by 100 yards. The dirt piece in the middle, and then there was the wooden walkway, a covered wooden walkway, with the sides open, and on one side there were shops, and the other side was the open kind of quad area. In the quad area, there was a roller hockey rink and like a football soccer field. That was like, the roller hockey rink had boards and glass and stuff like that. So that was laid out. The football field was just dirt and it was chalk. And so you land and you'd heard about this place. You're like, hey, let's go over and check that out. And you walk over there and you're like, are you shitting me? Yeah, it's like the Wookiee Bar or whatever that thing is in Star Wars. There's a TGI Fridays there. You're like, holy shit, man, look at this. Are we like in America? Well, maybe not America, but maybe Vacaville or Lodi or Bakersfield or some shithole. And, you know, you have the Canadians were playing hockey. Somebody else was playing touch football. And it was like, so that's the coalition experience, and that's what we try to do. Like, we'll take them, and that way we can use their name on the billboard, but we're not going to subject them to any danger. You know, we go to great ends to keep them from being injured. So Germany's taking their stuff and they're going home. Not unanticipated. How else will you say thank you for propping up our country for, what, 80 years? I can't think of a better way. Marine Corps assesses hurricane damage in the Carolinas, and the Navy's ready to assist the Bahamas. I told you, by all accounts, things that I've heard from people there, not so much damage there. So that's good for the Marine Corps, because last year, the budgetary impact of that devastation, as funds got taken out of operating budgets so that things that had to be rebuilt could be rebuilt, that was pretty amazing. When units don't go to do training that they've been scheduled to do, like fly to 29 Palms to do live fire training because we have to use that money for something else, that's a problem. I'm not going to lie to you, that's a problem. All right. Marine Corps Time Stories this morning. How do you know it's a slow news day? When there's the lead article in Marine Corps Times is a 1979 story about the mascot being reduced for destroying government property. Right? Chesty the Sixth was demoted for chewing up a punching bag, received 14 days extra duty for biting two corporals, according to a charge sheet. Yeah, so this is, again, under the guise of, there is nothing else to write about today. So we're going to write about the dog. Not that it's not an interesting, right, story. It was actually tweeted out by this is hilarious, man. Honestly, it is funny. The Marine Corps Historical Division sends out a tweet that said the following. On September 5th, 1979, Chesty the Sixth, mascot of 8th and I, received an Article 15 for destroying a punching bag and willfully disobeying a direct order to stay away from the same bag. Chesty was reduced in rank to private, but failed to learn his lesson. Just a year later, he was again NJP'd, this time for biting two corporals on the foot. Now, here's my question. You know, normally when Marines get bitten by snakes, where is the bite? Is it on the back of the leg? Oh, no. 99.100% of the bites are on the hand. On the hand or the arm? Why is that? Oh, now Vacaville man's pissed off because I call Vacaville a shithole. No, Mac, Fairfield is a shithole. Vacaville, not so much. Thanks for the shout-out, though. The story goes, so there's the official documents that are typed up, the Article 15, and then under signature, they went and got the fingerprint pad, they inked his paw, and they put his paw print where the signature goes. I shit you not. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Anyway, that comes courtesy of the Historical Division. Marine Corps Times didn't do that kind of research. It's kind of interesting. The president being criticized for calling off the secret Camp David meeting with the Taliban. Now, if you would have gone through with it, what do you think the headline would be? President criticized for meeting at Camp David. So, anyway. General Mattis continues to be in the news. So, we'll kind of track that through the week. He continues to expand on remarks, some of which we heard, last week. The Naval Academy is investigating the report of a noose. Now, I would tell you that most of those stories turn out to be hoax bullshit. Yeah, I mean, that's just, I follow this stuff. Don't always talk about it, but I tend to follow it. And I would tell you, my sense is, I mean, the Air Force Academy had a very public deal last year where at the Air Force Academy Prep School, somebody wrote on the kind of dry erase board that sat on somebody's front door. I think they used the N-word, something like, you know, use the N-word, go home, or something like that. Well, it turns out to be one of the black cadets at the prep school did it. And so we'll see what happens with this whole report of the news. Top five stories. One, Trump calls off secret Camp David meeting with the Taliban, according to Afghan leaders. Number two, C-17 crew stopped at Trump's Scottish golf course en route to Kuwait. Number three, defense lawmakers set aggressive schedule for NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act. Even though there are a host of differences between the Senate and House versions, right, the timeline is aggressive, which leads people who watch to think that they believe most of those differences can be reconciled relatively easily. Number four, tequila drinking Navy SEAL is in the running to oversee the elite troops. The Pentagon is considering recommending a brash former Navy SEAL who bragged about his tequila drinking for the top civilian post overseas, overseeing special operations forces, eliciting concerns about whether he has the mindset to rein in a pattern of misconduct against elite troops. So the story was all over the place this weekend, as you can imagine, right? Put tequila drinking Navy SEAL in a headline and just stand back and watch it as it blows up. Lou Bremer is the leading contender to be the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations and Low Intensity Conflict, according to two current and former defense officials. Besides being an 8-year SEAL veteran, Bremer is a private equity investor with ties to the Trump administration through his boss, billionaire Steven Feinberg. but word of his candidacy has alarmed some former special operations troops, Pentagon officials, and experts in irregular warfare who worry about Bremer's persona as a self-styled rebel would send the wrong message amid a spate of allegations involving homicides, sexual assaults, illegal drugs, and alcohol use among SEALs and other commando forces. So that story made the rounds over the weekend. And number five, why the entire SEAL Team 7 leadership team got canned. It's a pretty interesting story. But you know what? Long overdue. Okay? I'll tell you, one of the problems the SEALs have is that none of the rules apply to them. You know, General Order 1 that dealt with drinking did not apply to them. And I go back to 2004 in Ramadi. They drank inside their compound. Everybody knew it. Nobody said a word. Blah, 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 blah. So when the rules don't apply to you, this is, you know, and let me just tell you, this stuff's been going on for a long time. It's just bubbled up because it got too crazy, because the crimes are now murder. The crimes are now drug smuggling, right? The crimes are now completely disregard for your analysis program, right? In the wake of a series, so the story is written by Navy Times staff. So is our guy Zazulowitz involved in this? Let's see. Doesn't say. Just says Navy Times staff. Rear Admiral Colin Green fired SEAL Team 7's commanding officer, Commander Edward Mason, Executive Officer, Lieutenant Commander Luke Hong. Luke Hong Il M, so it'd be Lieutenant Commander M, and their top enlisted advisor, Command Master Chief Hugh Chant Spangler. Due to what officials termed a loss of confidence that resulted from leadership failures, it caused a breakdown of good order and discipline within two subordinate units while deployed to combat zones. A Navy spokesman, Captain Tamara Lawrence, told Navy Times that officials will not identify the triad who will replace the three leaders due to the nature of their work, for their safety, for the safety of their teammates and families, blah, 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 blah. The statements by Lawrence and other SEAL officials told Navy Times never implicated the triad for any personal misconduct, but instead point a spotlight at alleged wrongdoing by their subordinate units. It used to be that if your unit screwed up, if your ship screwed up, you got fired. But for whatever reason, again, the rules have not applied to them. So, you know, what was it, 2 weeks ago, Rear Admiral Green said, you know, the Navy's haircut policy and facial hair policy applies to the special warfare community, right, which it hadn't for a long time. And now this, right, what do you mean we're gonna get treated like other people get treated? So there was evidently two subordinate units of SEAL Team 7 nobody is commenting. One of the platoons was in Yemen, the other one was in Iraq. But again, it's just further, I mean, the Navy, I don't mean to, well, I do mean to bag on it. The Navy needs to unscrew itself, but it is in so deep after so many years of living like this. Discipline, not so much. And now they're learning the hard way, and he's very public. I mean, last week, the most obese service, not by a little bit, by a lot. I think obesity in the Air Force is at 18%. Obesity in the Army is at 17%. Obesity in the Navy is at 22%. Marine Corps, 8.3%. Boom! That's right. But we have more joint issues. It's all right. We're not fat, all right? We're not fat. All right, that's a look at the news headlines. So now, don't touch that dial. What I want you to stand by to listen to is a great interview by a really impressive Marine non-commissioned officer. You're going to know him as Sergeant Doe, because for reasons that I'm not even going to talk about, that's all you're going to know him as. But don't touch that dial, and I want you to listen. And I want you to know that you can do the same thing in the lives of people if you're simply willing to talk to them about that which will certainly enter their life, even if it hasn't entered their life. You can make them smart about it and say, hey, man, download this to your phone and just forget about it. If it ever happens to you, I want you to look at this stuff, and I want you to call me. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. And I like to, the way I kind of entitled these interviews are, these are people that are truly post-traumatic winners. You know, I talk about post-traumatic winning, these are people that have been faced by those challenges, and they're dealing with them successfully, okay? It's not easy, and everybody knows that. And the fight goes on and on and on for years because those issues never go away, you know? But I think once you learn what it takes to be successful, and then you learn to live with a little bit of self-discipline, you can live with those things forever. And then once you begin to give to other people, you can use those as a springboard to go to a greater place in your life. So, with all that said, a news update. The Coast Guard has contacted 4 crew members of that container ship that tipped over off the coast of Georgia. So that's good news. Now the question is, how do they get them out? How do they get them out? So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio. Sergeant Doe coming up next, right here on a Monday on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network.